The Big Picture Program, an award-winning program with your weekly dose of insights, fresh perspectives, and alternative analysis. Tune in as A.B. Dowji sheds light on various burning issues and brings forth a narrative that mainstream media tends to ignore. Informal yet hard-hitting, humorous yet authentic. The Big Picture Program with A.B. Dowji, now even bigger, on Saturday mornings, 11 a.m.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is A.B. Dowji and this is The Big Picture, broadcasting simultaneously on Radio Islam and Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan. And how's it, dear erudite, discerning, scholarly, knowledgeable, sagacious, enlightened, sapient, learned, perspicacious, righteous, venerable, principled, illustrious, distinguished, esteemed, and of course, loyal listeners of The Big Picture. Are you impressed with my description of you, Motabaji? I don't know what all those words mean, but I hope that I have buttered you up sufficiently so that you will overlook anything that doesn't quite make sense, or there are big holes in the arguments and analysis that I will be providing about what's happening in this big, wide world out there. And that's what The Big Picture is all about. In case after 25 years of prating, you didn't realize yet that in this show, we look beyond and behind the headlines of the mainstream media. It's got a nice ring to it, eh? Sounds so lekker, eh? The Big Picture, looking beyond and behind the headlines of the mainstream media. So here we are, folks, at the end of another year in the so-called secular calendar. Last few days of 2024, and what a year it has been. Best to describe it as yeses and shoo and yer and shoo. A real roller coaster ride, Mamu. Bumper to bumper dumbbell. Drama followed by one crisis after another. Overall, it was something of a sad year, right? Heart-wrenching to witness the Gaza Holocaust live stream into your homes. It is almost surreal, like watching a horror movie, Night of the Living Dead, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Exorcist, Halloween. Yes, folks, in my pre-Hidayat days, million years ago, I watched these gut-wrenching, gut-churning horror movies. But while I screamed or held my breath or closed my eyes, let me tell you, dear folks, none of them can compare to the real life massacres happening in Palestine. These days, I watch Al Jazeera for 10 minutes at most and switch off. The sheer carnage, the genocide perpetrated by Satan Yahu and his merry men of murderers is something that Alfred Hitchcock could never match in its horror. Of course, the bullies will know who is Alfred Mota. Yes, sis. I'm only 38 years or maybe 45 years old, but I've also heard about him. And so, dear listeners, as I said, we are witness to the daily horror of the Gaza genocide. But suddenly, we are hit on the head with a sledgehammer when the unfolding horror of Butcher al-Assad's barbaric bludgeoning of his own people is revealed on our screens. Very difficult to watch and to consider the unimaginable level of man's inhumanity to man. But let me leave all that for later, dear listeners, okay, and focus on where we are at this time of the year. As I said, we are in the last month of the secular calendar. for lack of a better word, secular calendar. And at this time, some people reflect and consider making change. They reflect on the past year and they consider making changes in their life. What's it called? New Year resolutions. I hear you, Mota, that we should always be changing for the better as I got that. Okay, now please stop interrupting me. Okay, so let me confess that I have decided to make a drastic change in my life in 2025. Yes, folks, after very, very careful consideration, I have decided to go full swing into promoting religious awareness. What does this mean? I hear you say, Mr. Interrupting Mota. What does this mean? Well, let me put it straight. Fasten your seatbelts and put your seat in the upright position. I, A.B. Dauji, decided to join the Pedal Jamaat. Yes, folks, the Pedal Jamaat. Are you shocked? But let me tell you what happened. I have been thinking about it for a few weeks and decided that this is what I will be doing next year. But sad to say, yesterday I very abruptly canceled the intention to join the Pedal Jamaat. And I made my decision after I read just the opening lines of the esteemed Maulana Suleiman Rawat. Hey, the esteemed Maulana Suleiman Rawat's lecture posted on WhatsApp yesterday. Yes, folks, it made me ice cold. He said, and these are his words, overcommitting and spending too much time on pedal activities that take you away from important family relationships can impact greatly on your personal life. Wow. Overcommitting and spending too much time on pedal activities that take you away from important family relationships can impact greatly on your personal life. That, dear listeners, really hit me very hard because I was going to join the Pedal Jamaat for something like 4 months. So that's it. I abandoned the idea. No pedal for me, Mamo. In fact, I'm going to go one step further and resign from my cycle club. Yes. Now it makes sense. All those bullies in their tight pants revealing their dignity. It's just not acceptable. I'm sure you'll all agree, ne? Hey, Brazo, you know I'm just kidding, okay? Don't get on your high horse and get all cross and all excess. I'm just being silly. After all, it's called the silly season. And still on the subject of silly, here's a story about a woman who is a first-class Ulu. Now, as you know, within the British Parliament, you have something called the House of Lords. Actually, it's made up of lords and ladies. That's their title. So a group of them went to Rwanda on a fact-finding mission of some sorts. While they were in a vehicle traveling all together, one of them, Lady Catherine Mayer, picked on the Right Honorable Navneet Dulakia. Navneet Dulakia is 87 years old. He's a lord, of course, the Honorable Lord Navneet Dulakia. I think he's of Indian origin, and he's got a heavy titles here, OBE and PC and JP and DL. I really don't know what those stands for, but obviously a very distinguished gentleman. So in the vehicle they were traveling in, this lady, Catherine, addressed him by the name Lord Popperdom. Yes, folks, she called him Lord Popperdom. Of course, you know that Popperdom means papar, something we all eat with our rice, eh? With our rice dishes. Absolutely unbelievable that this papri called the dignified gentleman Lord Papar. Well, I think it's outrageous, my dear lady. You are totally out of order, madam, and should be severely sanctioned. Well, in fact, she was punished. She was suspended from the House of Lords for 3 weeks, and that was jolly good, I think. How ridiculous and perhaps racist, too, addressing somebody as Lord Papper. Oh, heavens. Maybe it wouldn't sound so bad if she, you know, talking about all those dishes with the papad and all that, it wouldn't sound so bad if she sweetly whispered to him, "Hello, my dear Lord Soji." But definitely not Lord Gajar Achar. Hey, I tell you, these British really take the cake. Actually, they take the whole bowl of tarkari. Whole bowl of tarkari. And, you know, some useless facts here. Previously, Britain's main food was bangers and mash. Fat sausages, I think, pork sausages and mash. But according to a 2011 survey, chicken tikka masala has taken over as the national dish. What do you think of that? Eh? Chicken tikka masala has taken over as the national. So, right now to something else. The big news is that Saudi Arabia, known as the birthplace of Islam, Saudi Arabia, the Holy Land, will be staging the 2034 Soccer World Cup. Isn't that amazing? After having huge pop concerts with lots of nangas on prancing around on massive stages and making crude gestures, now this. So, question. Such activities always had the free flow of daru, booze, and other levels of debauchery, which I won't go into. So, Saudi Arabia is caught between the proverbial rock and a hard place. On the one side, you have the so-called leftist, the liberal West, that has complained that Saudi Arabia is very conservative and does not respect human rights and therefore should not be allowed to stage the World Cup. They point to women's rights and to the lack of respect for the LGBTQ, etc. So, what will Bin Salman do? Allow nightclubs where men and women can pass their time to enjoy their rights to entertainment, dancing and doping, or maybe allow men to wear heavy makeup, mascara and all of that and tight skirts and walk around? Well, the question is, will there be any pushback from the ulema against this shaitani activity? Actually, many of the ulema are in jail for speaking out. Bin Salman says that with the future sales of oil diminishing steadily, he has to readjust his plan for the economic future to attract more revenue. Well, he seems to be readjusting Islam to make it look like Dubai. And here is a question. Why is a whole country named after a family? Maybe because they think they own it personally. It's their own personal possession. Bin Salman seems to be living up to his name, putting Islam into the bin. Actually, the name should be changed from Saudi Arabia to Sordid Arabia, spelt S-O-R-D-I-D, Sordid Arabia. You may think I'm being a bit too harsh, but that's my view, Mamu. And if you don't like it, Mr. Soccer Mad Mota, well, you know what you can do with it, Habibi. Okay, let's get to more serious matters. Anthony Blinken, the American Secretary of State, the most irreverent, sorry, not the right word, the most irrelevant diplomat in the world, decided that he has nothing more to do in Washington, sitting there twiddling his thumbs. So once again, he jumped onto a plane to visit, once again, all the leaders in the Middle East. And his mission is to stop all the fighting and bring peace and prosperity to the whole region so that everybody can live happily ever after. Wonderful stuff, eh, Habibi? Wonderful. Yesterday he was in Turkey, standing before the media with the Turkish foreign minister. He made a most amazing speech. Most amazing speech. And it was absolutely earth-shattering, eh? Historic, mind-blowing. I nearly fell off my chair listening to him. I was, well, to, I must admit, very deeply shocked, as I'm sure you will be too. Please listen carefully. This is what he said. Putting the laptop on again. Yeah, so this is what he said. He said, and he's talking about the foreign minister of Turkey standing next to him. He said, as the minister said, we're very focused on Gaza, very focused on the opportunity that now is before us and before the Palestinian people to move from out from under the shackles of Netanyahu to a different and better future for the Palestinian people, one that the Palestinian people decide for themselves. We talked about how Turkey, how the United States, how other partners in the region can support those efforts. And I think there's a broad agreement on what we would each like to see going forward, starting with a new government in the whole of historic Palestine, where everyone has equal rights, Palestinians and Jews, one that is inclusive and non-sectarian, one that protects the rights of minorities and women, one that preserves institutions of the state and delivers service to the people, one that deals with any chemical weapons like the white phosphorus that Israel used in Lebanon, that it may find to secure them and appropriately destroy them. One that rejects any alliances with extremist groups like that of Ben Gavir and Smotrich. And of course, one that does not pose any kind of threat to any of Palestine's neighbors, as Israel did in bombing Lebanon and Syria and Iran. There is, I think, growing consensus on what many of us would like to see, because it's the best way to realize the aspirations of the Palestinian people. It's also the best way to ensure that what emerges in Palestine gets the support and recognition that it wants from the international community, and which it very much needs after so many years of oppression, of conflict, of corruption, and of isolation. We also discussed the imperative of continuing the efforts to keep the lunatic right-wing settlers. Our countries worked very hard and gave a lot over many years to ensure the elimination of the territory-grabbing messianic religious fanatics, to ensure that the threat doesn't rear its head again, and it's imperative that we keep at these efforts. Ha! Woo! Isn't that amazing, dear listeners? You can't believe your ears, ne? You can't believe your ears? Well, you shouldn't. Because I was actually changing his speech a little bit. Blinken was not referring to Israel or Netanyahu or the Palestinians. He was talking about Syria and focusing on the new government, saying that it should behave properly. Eh? It should behave properly. Behave properly. Behave properly. Hi, boy. Huh. While he was speaking, Israel was behaving badly. It was bombing Syria. Bombing another country is against international law. And it was bombing Syria for no reason. But of course, Israel's reason is that we are bombing your military capability, your tanks, your naval ships, and your helicopters. We are doing that right now so that you won't use all of this to bomb us, to attack us in the future. Can you believe it? Eh? And Blinken and the entire West will agree and of course, stuff international law. So, More than a year of bombing Gaza, Israel is confident that it can do anything at all, cross all the red lines, and nothing will happen. It's a law unto itself. And so Blinken was completely chup, silent, not a word about this huge international crime, Israel bombing Syria. So what the Blinken hell is he doing in the Middle East? Eh? Well, today there's a big meeting of all of Syria's neighbors, the Saudis, the Emiratis, Jordan, Egypt, and of course the EU will be there. And no doubt the mighty United States, United States will be there, and therefore Iran and Russia are excluded because America will get very cross if they are there. So it's mainly a meeting of eunuchs. Eunuchs. I won't explain what that means except to say that it's an emasculated male. Or should I say, no, not a male anymore. Why do I call them eunuchs? Because they can do blow all to charter the destiny of countries in the Middle East. Blow all, zero, nothing. Because the United States calls the shots at the instructions of the party that's not even there in this meeting today. In Aqaba, Jordan. Yes, you guessed right, Israel. So at today's talk shop, you will hear a lot of lofty hot air, hot wind. That's what you'll get. When the Blinken, I should say, what the Blinken hell will the U.S. Secretary of State say? What will he say? Will he condemn Israel taking more of Syria's land? Israel's military is almost 40 kilometers from Damascus. The occupation of Syria's Golan Heights from 1967, all but forgotten. Will he talk about that? If he does, the sun, dear people, will rise in the west tomorrow morning. And Julius Malema will join MK. Wait a minute. The latter is quite possible, ne? Okay, let's go to the big story. The booting out of Bucha al-Assad. Absolutely stunning. And amidst the doom and gloom of the 2024, of this past year, the highlight for me, and I'm sure for you, was this amazing event. And to see yesterday hundreds of thousands of Syrians filling the streets and squares of every town and village with huge smiles, big smiles, and scenes of unbridled joy, jubilation, now that the chains have been finally broken after enduring 54 years of the murderous Assad regime. Absolutely heartwarming to see the huge smiles. And I also smiled continuously as I witnessed the joy, but I felt a great sentimental feeling overcoming me when I saw thousands performing Juma Salah at the Umayyad Masjid in the center of Damascus. A few months ago, I had advertised a trip to the Middle East, going to Jordan, Palestine, Syria, and Lebanon. After Israel started bombing Lebanon, all flights out of Beirut, which was supposed to be our last stop, were canceled. So I also had to cancel the hotels, everything, and gave everyone who booked, I gave them their refunds. We were due to leave next week. And of course, Allah is the best of planners. Who would have known that the scenario would change so dramatically almost overnight? I am thinking how wonderful it would have been if I went there next week as originally planned and joined in the celebrations of the people. And of course, visit the Umayyad Masjid. You know, after the three harams, this spectacular masjid really moved me greatly. I can't explain it, but sitting inside this huge, beautiful structure had an effect on me that I just can't explain. You know, I went to Syria many times over the last 20 years and was in Damascus with my group just about 2 years ago. I think it's 2 years exactly in December. And I'm always taken in completely by the charm of this place and the friendliness of the people. The masjid, the Umayyad Masjid, is huge. It was once a church, and it is rich in history. It is said that the head of Yahya alayhi salam, known to the West as John the Baptist, is buried inside the masjid. And that Isa alayhi salam, we are told, will descend down the beautiful white minaret that towers over the huge courtyard. I can't describe this spectacular scene. Just a side point, okay? You know, the place where Yahya alayhi salam's head is buried is like in many other places that you see. It has a huge, large, square iron structures like a cage. On the metal pillars, you will find hundreds of locks. You know, locks that you lock your baggage with? Locks. The story goes that women put the locks on these metal gates in the belief that the husbands won't take a second wife. Our guide told us, very jokingly, that the locksmith nearby is doing roaring business with husbands who quietly ask for the locks to be taken off. Anyway, from the beautiful huge courtyard of the masjid, one of the doors leads out to the gravesite of a towering hero of Muslims, the grave of Salahuddin Ayyubi, the liberator of Jerusalem from the Crusaders. What an amazing personality. May Allah grant him Jannah, inshallah. Many wonderful stories about him, but let's leave it for another time. Yeah, because we are rapidly running out of time. But back to the joy and celebration in the streets of Damascus. People were chanting over and over, Wahid, 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 meaning one, 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 meaning one country, one united country, no divisions, all groups, Muslims, Christians, etc. One country, Wahid, Wahid, Wahid. And that was the message of the new leader of Syria, Abu Muhammad al-Jolani, a name not known by the world just over a week ago. Remarkable, right? His message was one of reconciliation. Syrian people are all one. Let us build together. The fighting is over. There must be no revenge. Outsiders must stay out and not interfere in the destiny of Syria. We must now commit ourselves to rebuilding our lives, the lives of the people and the country as a whole. But of course, the West will seize upon his CV. Ah, you see, he was with ISIS. He was with Al-Qaeda. And he was with Al-Nusra and so on and on and on and on. Those were terrorist organizations. So therefore, the conclusion is that ISIS has taken over Syria. That will be the prevailing narrative. And that will also be seen as the justification for Israel's attack on all the military installations, the naval vessels, helicopters and so, and tanks, etc., over the past few days. There is always a justification, a blanket excuse for Israel's action. Israel is defending itself. That is the biggest load of bull manure of the century. So yes, al-Jolani was with this organization, no doubt about that. He was with this organization, but he was a young man who was fired up, motivated with fighting Western imperialism and Arab dictatorships. Young man who was charged up. And through the years, he matured and became more clear-minded and realized that you have to work more intelligently and humanely. Yes, fight tyranny, of course, but with the intention of providing peace and justice to the people and not be rooted in some ideology of wanton killing and mayhem. Wahid, Wahid, Wahid. And we make dua that it will be one undivided nation, free and prospering, inshallah. But while we join in celebrating the great victory of the Syrian people, as we see wonderful scenes of jubilation, they are interspersed with horror scenes of people emerging from Bucha al-Assad's dungeons. The horror that hundreds of thousands were subjected to are indescribable. Syrians didn't know whether members of the family who disappeared for decades were dead or alive. Some went in as a young person, only to emerge as old and ailing. One old lady was locked up, right? I saw a picture of an old lady. She was locked up for 40 years. For what reason? Because she objected to one of Assad's men wanting to marry a young lady. That's all. Locked up for 40 years. One man locked up in solitary confinement for 14 years. Can you imagine that? Alone in a narrow cell for 14 years. Mostly in darkness. And the torture. You know, but what chilled me was that they were locked up for decades underground. Some say it was like 5 stories down underground, never seeing the sun and struggling to breathe. Oh, that is something that made me shudder to imagine. Horror that's unimaginable. But let me mention 2 things very quickly. You may know this already, but while we are celebrating the Syrians achieving freedom, let's be aware that it's not the whole of Syria. It's only the part that was controlled by Assad. A huge part of Syria is controlled by other actors also. Turkey controls part of it. The U.S. supports another part controlled by the Kurds, and another part is under the control of a militant group. So bottom line is that the whole of Syria is not liberated yet. Secondly, you can be certain that outside what is known as scenario planners, institutes and organizations and so on in the West, including government bodies, have long ago decided how they will deal with a sudden and eventual fall of Assad, with a situation of the eventual fall of Assad. If this happens, we'll do that. If that happens, if this scenario unfolds, then we will do this. Scenario planners, spoilers, like playing a chess game. Yes, chess game. People are regarded as chess pieces, dispensable in the great game of imperial power play. There are hundreds of these scenario planners in the Western capitals, dark forces with their nefarious plans. Okay, let's leave it all of this and end off on a breezy note for the year. And ladies and gentlemen, on the line, I have an icon in the field of human motivation, a household name, a dynamic and effervescent personality, eloquent and articulate. He's visiting South Africa at the moment. And I say this because when I call him, the first thing I ask him is, where are you, Brazo? Of course, I am referring to my dear friend of 100 years, Idris Khamisa. Yes, folks, we are both from the lovely town of Port Shepstone. Hey, there must be something in the Sheppy water that makes us talk so much. Of course, some jealous people would say that we both are a little off. But that's a topic for another day. So put your hands together to welcome Sidi Idris Khamisa. Idris, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hey, brother, it's taken you a long time to connect with me, my brother.
Well, my brother, I can never get a word in edgeways in a conversation with you. So the floor is entirely yours, Habibi, to inspire us with your words of wisdom.
Yes, you know.
And tell us, first of all, where are you right now? Where are you? I have to ask you that. Where are you?
I'm at the airport.
Oh, there you are. There you go again. You're more in the air than on the ground, eh, Khamis?
No, that's why they say love is in the air. I'd rather be in the air. So anyway, no, inshallah. I'm just
we won't delve into that. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to Aurangabad and Hyderabad for a few days to do some lectures, and we'll be back on the 20th, inshallah.
Inshallah. By the way, on the 20th, I will be leaving for India and Kashmir, inshallah. So may I'll you miss you, so I'll wave at you at the airport.
Okay. May you have a jolly
right, continue, sir. Inspire us, brother. Inspire us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is, the time of the year, many people say, my gosh, next year must be better. We all want to have resolutions and all of that. And I was thinking about this. Imagine if all of us abide by our resolutions, then nobody's going to get sick. There'll be no students will go to school every day. Children will be obliging and wonderful. There'll be no problems. Doctors will not have patients. You know, teachers will not have naughty students. The cane will be obsolete. So this is it. We always say that, but we never do that, you know. And it reminds me of a principle. It was a cartoon somewhere I saw. The mother is telling the boy, you know, who was hiding under the blankets. He said, my boy, you got to go to school. He said, no, I don't want to go. No one likes me. Teachers don't like me. And everyone fights with me. The parents fight with me. He said, no, you got to go. After all, you're the headmaster of the school. So even headmasters are free. So anyway, it's a time. It's good to think about your life, reflect on it, and say what you can do differently. You know, I know whenever, like, I tell my wife tomorrow morning at 5, I'm going jogging. You know, she has a good laugh. You know, so funny, sir. You know, so funny, so funny. She says, you know, the thing is, we need support from our partners, you know. So this is the whole thing about life, that it's time to reflect. It's joyous. It's a good time. And, you know, we lead a balanced life, and we do the right things, inshallah, it will be great, you know.
Indeed, yes, of course. So tell us about what we should be reflecting on.
You need to reflect on your, firstly, your relationship with Allah, your relationship with your community, relationship with your family. And you need to see, you know, what can be done differently by you, by others. And, you know, it's the whole idea to create happy homes, to create happy individuals, because I see a lot of sadness, man. I see people who are walking to homes very constipated and all that, you know. Maybe because of that, you know, they're coming home, they pull their face and everything else. So I think there are many things we can do, you know. Like, I like the way you present your programs, you know. Whilst I know you spend so much time preparing, but you put it across in a way that people understand. There's a lot of laughter. People enjoy the laugh, because we have forgotten even how to laugh these days. People look depressed, even at weddings, you know. I tell people, hey, it's not a janaza, it's a wedding. It's a wedding, you know. you know, you've got to remind people. And sometimes I even tell the couple, I say to them, you know what, I want you to tell your wife next to you that you love her. And I said, if you're sitting next to someone else's wife, tell that woman, I'm sure your husband loves you, you know. So we need to be expressive, loving, caring. Yes, I mean, we are mortal beings, but we got to lead a balanced life, you know. We can't be so self-absorbed, so alienated and cut ourselves off, you know. So I think basically it's an attitude. You be positive, go ahead with life, enjoy, meet people, be friendly, don't be malicious and vindictive, you know.
So, Idris, CD Idris, yes. I think in Malaysia when you were there. So you go all over the place. You've been to Malaysia next. And as I said, I have to, first of all, find out where you are whenever I call you. What will you be doing in India, and besides having Hyderabadi biryani?
I thought that was some total of my activities. No, but anyway, thanks for reminding me. You know,
I know you're always concerned about food for stomach besides food for thought.
Yeah, and when I come back to South Africa, you ask me how was the trip to Hyderabad, I'll tell you, I'm very nicely fed up now.
So anyway, that is jolly good, jolly good. Carry on, proceed.
I'll be giving talks to teachers there in Hyderabad, and there is a conference in Aurangabad. Export 2024. I'm doing three programs. One about how the home and school can be a dynamic partners. The other one is how we can inspire our students to continue schooling and to be positive about school life and everything else. So there are a number of these topics, you know, which I enjoy doing because in the end, I like to give people hope and all of that, you know. So it's a very, very short trip, but a trip that I'm looking forward to.
Inshallah. Well, there you have it, folks. The erudite, the articulate Idris Khamisa, off to another destination to inspire and motivate people. Idris, inshallah, yes. You'll have a safe and successful trip, inshallah.
And may your trip also be great, and may things go great for all our erudite listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There you are. A little bit of filler there from my dear friend, my best friend, Idris Khamisa, going off on another jaunt to an exciting destination. Well, that's all I have for you this week, dear listeners. And nothing more to say, but this is A.B. Dawji bidding you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.